To describe the scene, we are sitting around a large wooden table. It's me and Dave and Lisa, and there are citrusy things such as lemon and orange. There's yogurt, Diet Coke, wine vinegar, and bitters. And I was deluded or fooled into thinking this is a wine tasting when it seems to be a contest of who's going to throw up first.
This is the first of what I hope will be many podcasts centered around wine tasting.
Yet there is no wine on the
Yeah,
table.
there is no wine on the table yet. We will move on to that. Anyways, my name is Dave Schlicker, and I am 37 years old, and I live in Brooklyn, New York, and I like to drink. And I want to learn more about how to drink, or appreciate the drink that I choose, and that is namely wine. And in order to kind of like get a little bit of a start on this, we came up with this idea. And when I say we, I will let Brian and Lisa introduce themselves right now.
My name is Lisa Bocchini. I will refuse to tell you how old I am, but I do live in Brooklyn, and I'm very interested in developing my palate further when it comes to wine. And Dave has been a comrade in arms and a co-conspirator, and I'm looking forward to doing a bunch of podcasts and hopefully at the end of the day knowing more about what I'm tasting.
I'm Brian Kogan, I'm the color commentator. I am 40 years old. I live in a mythic land called Brooklyn, and I am also trying to appreciate wine instead of just drinking $3 six pack Peels every day, which is not true. I usually pay $4 for it.
They mark it up in Brooklyn.
Exactly. I originally had no wine palate, but I've been developing now so that I can now scoff at my parents when they drink two buck chuck from Trader Joe's instead of actually spending, say, I don't know, $10 for a bottle of wine. But then again, they were brought up during the Depression, so I understand that a little bit.
We picked out a book here. It's called How to Taste, and it's by Jancis Robinson, who is the renowned British wine writer. She has her own website, Tasting Notes. She has done TV shows, and she's commentated on a number of different programs. I've heard her on NPR. I've read about her in the newspapers. She put out this book called How to Taste, A Guide to Enjoying Wine. And it, in theory, if you follow it from beginning to end, she will take you from the very basics of tasting, all the way to being able to tell the difference between Cabernets from different parts of the world. And she lays it out in a number of practice lessons, things like that. And we have kind of taken it upon ourselves to try and follow this thing through from beginning to end, see if we can do a little bit of learning along the way.
Okay, so how do we start?
Well, let's start by picking one of these out and and kind of going through it. We'll talk a little bit about how the book is set up. It's about 200 pages long. It's got just over 100 of these practice sessions in it, and interspersed are theory pieces where she kind of talks about the wine of a region, or she talks about what something like acidity really is, or she talks about the different grape varietals, sweetness in wine. She talks about these things that will come across over the course of tasting, and then it lays out practice. Try some of these wines that I've just talked about and see if you could tell the difference between this wine and that wine, or try this type of wine and see if you could pick out how sweet it is, how tannic it is, how much acidity it has, and things along those lines.
I like her practice suggestions because they're very concrete. Try a Bordeaux from a dock, and then try a Bordeaux from the other side of the river, a Saint-Emilion, and see the difference. One is made with more cab, one is made with more Merlot, and she'll get that sort of concrete about it. And I mean, that's sort of, getting up to a level where, you start with try a Bordeaux in general and compare it to a New World Bordeaux, and then she gets a little more specific about how you can develop it even further.
Right. I mean that's really kind of a point that I would like to be at. One of the things that I like about this book too, and it's actually something we were talking about a little earlier, is that she makes absolutely no presumption of what level of a taster or appreciator of wine you are, and she really starts from the beginning, which is something that I've always kind of struggled with. I've liked wine for a while since I started actually going to school and I also grew up in the Finger Lakes region. And I swear I thought I knew everything about wine, and what little did I know from the table reds and all that we were that we were drinking up there for $5 a bottle. But it's like I would never sit down and try and pull it apart. I would always just kind of taste it and did I like it or did I not like it? That'd be the basic thing. And if I might get a little bit deeper, did I think it was refreshing or did I think it was heavy? But it stuck at that level for a long time before I started getting more and more into it. And then I found myself guessing. So they talk about, this has a nice zing of acidity, and then I'd be there. It's like, was that the zing? What's the zing? It's especially funny with all the aromas that you can kind of come up with over a, with a certain wine, and I could never tell what the hell I was smelling. So I kind of like, from my, for you know, for me and my perspective, kind of wiping the slate clean and starting from the beginning, and maybe even in a way unlearning some of the stuff that I thought I knew, or at least kind of filling in the gaps where I certainly don't have, the expertise or the knowledge. So that's one thing I like a lot about the book.
Well, one thing, and I haven't read the book, I guess, is that most people don't think that they have the requisite ability to taste wine the way wine is supposed to be tasted, or the vocabulary to describe it. And like you said, most people guess, okay, where's the oak? Where's the currant? Where's the berry taste I'm supposed to get from this? I mean, unless it's like a big fruit bomb, it's difficult sometimes to tell what exactly you like, and half the battle is articulating not only do you like something, but why you like it and what aspects of it you like. And often that's a process of deconstruction right there and trying to tear it apart and saying, I like this, but I don't like that. I like this part, but I don't like that part. And that's, I guess, half the battle of learning wine is learning to distinguish between what you like and what you don't like, and why you don't like certain things, and why you might like certain Chardonnays that aren't oaked, for example, whereas you hate the oaky ones. But with the wine, there's so much going below the surface, and people will be doing beer at another podcast. Sometimes don't understand there's a lot in a beer or a lot in almost every kind of drink that can be torn apart. Do you like the hoppiness? Do you like this flavor, etc.? And with wine has always been sort of the province of people that drink wine with dinner, and then there's the elevated wine snob, the people that can talk about wine. But where's the middle ground where people can say, I enjoy wine on a regular basis with my dinner, but I also want to know what goes into that wine. I want to know, okay, let's take this wine apart. I like this, I like that. And ultimately, I think the whole point is you become better attuned to your own taste and therefore a better buyer of wine. You're not wasting time on things that aren't going to please you.
And which I think is incredibly important in this day and age as the price of wine goes up. You don't want to be burned.
Exactly.
It's like that study that I sent you from NPR. There was a they interviewed this economics professor who actually blind t tested these wines on people and had them in an MRI machine at the same time. And apparently, the more expensive they thought the wine was, the more they actually enjoyed it. And he was serving them $5 wines and telling them they were $45, and they were enjoying it in a scientific way more than they what they
Oh
did
yeah,
knowing it was $5.
I'm a case in point, and I'll just tell this quick story, and then we'll kind of explain what we're going to do next with all these bizarre foods and liquids in front of us. Years ago, before I knew anything about wine or champagne, I was at a racetrack in Baltimore. I went to the Preakness with some friends, and I won money, and I had also been drinking all day long. And my friend Mike, who I was with, and if you know the Baltimore racetrack at all, Pimlico, it's not in a great neighborhood. So my friend Mike went across the street to get some liquor. We were just sitting on this, like on somebody's stoop, basically, you know, on the street. We went across the street to a little bodega, came out with a bottle of champagne, and I'm using air quotes here, and came over, popped it open, and said, "Dave, congratulations, here you go." This was the most expensive champagne I had in the store that I went to, and I didn't know he actually went to a bodega. Popped it open, drinking it straight out of the bottle. I'm sitting there, I'm looking at the bottle, and I'm like, this is the best champagne I've ever had in my entire life. I seriously thought it tasted good. And then he said he paid like $3.99.
Oh my god, that's hysterical.
Which of course, I mean, now if we could analyze this technically, and it's what a Theodore Adorno called commodity fetishism, that you value something for the price as opposed to the actual experience of it. But I think Homer Simpson summed it up best by ordering off the menu saying, "I'd like your second least expensive bottle of wine, please."
Which is what I usually do in the restaurant wine list.
Yeah.
Anyways, what we have in front of us here, though, just to kind of talk a little bit about process, is we have a lot of different forms of acidic examples in front of us: an orange peel, a lemon peel. We have apple juice, we have vinegar, carbonated beverage, we have aromatic bitters, and yogurt. And we're basically going to kind of taste through this stuff to see if we can kind of isolate where it's hitting our tongue, what it tastes like. It's kind of burn that memory into our mind a little bit so we can then go to a wine and see if we can kind of match them up, if you will.
Okay. So where do we start?
What should we start with? Well, this is on page 21. She has the thing about acidity.
Yeah. Okay.
So she says to actually start with smelling vinegar, something that's high in acidity.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, notice how the edges of your tongue curl up in anticipation of the experience of how it's actually going to taste in your mouth, which I think is very interesting.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you, the first thing you do when you get a wine is smell it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's very interesting.
As Lisa is kind of going around here and smelling, I'm going to read just a little bit of a section here from the theory that she writes. Because I think this gets really at why we're doing this with the acidity. Getting the balance between sweetness and acidity right in wine grapes is crucial. The winemaker wants his grapes to be as ripe as possible for two reasons. The longer the grapes are on the vine, the more interesting flavors they will have, as long as they have time to develop. And secondly, the sweeter the grape juice, the sweeter and or stronger the wine will be. Strength is really something that she kind of talks about here, and especially talks about New World wines. Too much of acidity makes something sour, just enough enlivens it, giving it an appealing zip or crispness. And sourness is also a measure of acidity. There's a lot of it in lemon juice and vinegar, and little or none in something like water, or obviously water or flour. Upper edges of the tongue are most sensitive to acidity. So we're kind of passing around the vinegar now.
I'm sniffing the vinegar and recoiling as I do so. Oh, it is, it's a wonderfully awful smell. It's acidic as all heck. And this is vinegar that's been mixed with water to make it less acidic, but
no,
still.
It's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, read the label.
It's mostly water.
Italian.
Now sniffing the balsamic vinegar.
It's not the oldest in the world. It's only 6 years, but
it's a notably different smell, although it's still very sour.
It's very sour, but there's almost a little bit of sweetness to it too. I don't know if it's exactly sweetness, but there's something.
Oh yeah.
About it.
Well, what's in a balsamic vinegar?
I'm going to be the first to take the plunge here. I mean, maybe she doesn't actually say it here in the practice, but I'm gonna have a little spoonful of this.
Yeah.
Oh.
She does say to taste it.
There we go. Let's see what happens.
I want your face curdle. Oh, the reaction was truly monumental, folks. For those of you listening at home, Dave just looked as though something very unpleasant had happened. Indeed it had. We're supposed to drink an entire spoonful of this?
I don't recommend you do anything.
I'm going to have the merest taste.
Oh my god. I mean, the crazy thing is, I love this on a salad.
Because it's spread out. I mean,
yeah,
the
this
amount
is
that.
Insanely concentrated.
All right, here
I
we go.
I feel the back of my mouth, like.
More than anything else,
yeah.
This is probably what people feel like when they do shots for the first time. Hold on, here comes
Maybe.
The vinegar.
Actually, that's a good point.
Oh, God! No!
It was tough.
It's like drinking battery acid.
So how is it reacting in your mouth? What does it feel
like?
Oh,
it's telling my mouth. My mouth is telling it go away.
It's the sides and the back of your mouth.
The top back.
Yeah, the top
but
back.
I am?
It's exactly it, the top back.
The top and the back. But
as Ralph Wiggum once said, tastes like burning.
But what about the aftertaste? Talk about the aftertaste. There's some sweetness there, right?
A little bit of sweetness.
I mean,
not
you know,
much.
Maybe we should actually try a little spoonful of this uh-huh. other one, just to see what there is. Just for the record, the lesson or the practice that she has on page 21, she just says, familiarize yourself.
No.
With these. She doesn't. I think we're getting up close and personal.
I think we are, and I think that's a good thing. You know why? Because tell me that you haven't had a wine that had that kind of acid.
I've never had a wine that's had
no,
that kind of acid.
Come on. But you've gotten a little bit of that reaction from it.
Not even
from
a two-buck chuck.
From a wine that's too
well,
acidic.
Well, you see, this is exactly why I want to do this, is because I don't know what I'm tasting when I get acidity. The way she describes it in her theory here, and to kind of quote her again, just enough acidity gives it an appealing zip or crisp tartness, and I definitely know that I taste that in a really good Riesling, for example, but
yeah.
I don't really, it doesn't register to me that it's the acidity that's doing it.
What did she say about something with too much acidity?
That's
does
what
she,
we just had.
No, I know, but
oh,
in terms
yeah.
of wine.
Too much acidity makes something sour, and okay. actually that's what I got off of that, was that sour taste. We might have been, I might have confused that sourness with maybe just a little bit of sweetness, but barely.
Mm-hmm.
But it really was sour. I mean, what happens when you taste wine that's gone, that's turned, that's been open for too long, or it's gone, it's
yeah.
sour.
Yeah. And that's what it kind of tastes like.
So I'm going to give
Dave's going to drink the balsamic vinegar now. This is actually
straight from the bottle.
Exactly. He's chugging it. He's put it in a brown paper bag, and he's drinking it on the street corner now. And his reaction is not as bad.
It's much softer.
Well, this has been
much
aged.
Much.
I mean,
yeah.
What'd you do this weekend, folks? Oh, we sat around drinking vinegar.
I still have that burning sensation in the back of my mouth at the top. But there actually is, I think, a little bit more sweetness in
absolutely.
This. Believe it or not.
Absolutely.
But it's definitely overpoweringly sour. And now I have a little bit of an idea of why it's important to have the acidity in balance with the rest of the wine, because
let's
if you just
vinegar.
Have too much, it'll really throw it off.
Oh.
You don't like vinegar to begin with, so.
It's the most vinegar I've had in years. And it's reaffirmed someone tries to put vinegar on my salad.
Oh, I love it on a salad. I love malt vinegar on my fries.
I like malt vinegar on fish.
Yeah, here's something. Well, malt vinegar on fish, that's another good one, and probably very similar to this.
I dare you to down this.
What she says here about vinegar is that it's a good example of acidic vinegar. And to your point earlier, it did really taste like what I imagine battery acid would
yeah.
taste like. So this is really kind of that acidic kind. Let's go to something a little bit different.
Yeah.
And let's see what we can get out of a little bit of malic acid. That would be.
That's a good contrast to the vinegar.
Oops.
For those of you listening at home, David is now opening what looks to be a small jar of urine. But he assures us it's applesauce. I mean apple juice. We'll find out. I can't wait. I'm going to take a deep drink because I'm assuming it is his urine, and I really wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, come on.
All right, let's try
and I never had
13.
I never had Dave's urine before.
Brian, enough.
We have other people, let me tell you.
Now, smell this.
Well, it smells a lot different.
Yeah.
Well, oh, yeah. It smells much sweeter, for
yes.
one thing. I'm not smelling any actual acid on it, are you?
It's probably a lot lower.
Maybe.
Yeah. You know, it's like, I don't know exactly. No, I almost think that you're gonna know what the smell of acid is like if you spent time in a photo darkroom with the chemicals, because we know those are, kind of, has that. There's a difference between that smell, which definitely reminded me of the wine vinegar that we just had, and the smell of something like this, which just reminds me of like falls in upstate New York.
This reminds me of being about 5 years old.
Yeah,
that's the last time I drank apple juice.
We're going to drink the apple juice now.
Mmm.
That's refreshing.
But two things I noticed. The mouthfeel of it is full.
Mm-hmm.
It's soft as compared, especially to the vinegar. That malic acid, I think, is a creaminess. Creates a creaminess. I think that's...
Yeah.
And that's something you do get in some wines.
No, yeah. No, you definitely get that. I mean, I'm kind of wondering here if this is just the... the characteristic of apple juice, or if there's something else about the malic acid that I'm just not getting. That's my question.
What do you mean?
I'm kind of looking for, and this is a big reason why we're doing this. It's like they're all acids. We're gonna go down the list and try malic acid, citric acid, lactic acid, carbonic acid. I mean, is there something similar about a common thread about all...
Through all these acids?
Yeah, because they're acids. If anything, there's a little bit of a... this is where I could be making it up, a little bit of a zip just at the very tip of the tongue. But again, because I think this is apple juice, and maybe malic acid is a lot lighter or a lot less upfront than some of these other acids...
It is, and you know what? I just took another sip as you were saying that, and I noticed that too. And the first time I tasted it, I didn't even get that.
Because it's so easy to drink. It's apple juice. Yeah. Yeah.
And you know exactly what it's going to taste like, and you have these expectations.
But it needs a little zip, or else you wouldn't drink it. I mean, it needs to be that combination of sweetness and just a teeniest sensation of sour.
Yeah, well, I think it needs that little bit of, kind of talking a little bit about wines before we get through the exercise here. I think this is a difference between a wine that has really good, lively acidity that tastes refreshing, like a good Riesling, because it does have that zip, or that extra thought that you give to it because there's something that stands out versus something that you just drink and don't think about, and that might be, just a cheap white wine, whatever it may be, you just don't think about it.
You know what the malic acid, though, too, reminds me of, or the apple juice? It reminds me of a Chardonnay, like an oaky, sort of full-bodied Chardonnay that has that sweetness and that creaminess, and some of the same...
It could be. I mean, this apple juice came out of a can. I mean, if I had mixed it one part... juice to two parts instead of three parts water, it might taste like something completely different. I don't know if I walked away from this. I still have some in front of my hand or in my hand. I don't know if I'm coming away from this having a really great idea of what malic acid is. I have a little bit of an idea, and then I think it's just a little.
Would it taste different in a cider? I mean, she's British, isn't she? So she would be talking more about an apple cider than apple juice.
Well, she says apple juice.
It might be more acidic in Britain.
Might be.
I don't know. I think I get the malic acid. I get it.
I think I do, but I'm not sure.
And I think... I wonder if there's... It would be interesting to try to find a wine that has that real characteristic.
Apple wine.
Calvados, apple brandy. I wonder if that has it too.
Well, that would probably, for me at least. I think most liquors taste like fire water. I'd have to get past that first. But you go to some of these, places upstate New York, especially where I grew up in the Ithaca area. There are places, orchards up there that make apple wine.
Oh yeah, I've never had it.
So I bet you that would be a good, good way to kind of get a sense of that.
I think it has something to do with the creaminess and the I mean, there is a teeny bit of sourness, too.
A little bit of sourness, yeah.
Yeah.
To
You know,
that.
and I think, you know, this might be part of it too. Like the creaminess is able to kind of, or that kind of sensation is able to kind of come out a little bit more because you don't have, malic acid doesn't seem to me like it has that bracing acidity.
No.
And so you're able to kind of get whatever characteristics of whatever you're drinking, they might come out more.
Absolutely.
Also, I mean, remember what we're drinking? We're drinking apple juice, and it's formulated basically for kids. So they need
Yeah.
to take the acidity out of it
Yeah,
in order to make it
that's
more
true.
palatable. I mean, I think if you bit into an apple, you'd taste a lot more of the acidity than if you drank apple juice.
Well, you're right, and kind of going back to that kid example, that's probably why a lot of kids don't drink orange juice.
Yeah.
You know, because it just wouldn't. So there probably is something here to the subtleness of it.
Hence the low acid orange juice they're selling now.
Perfect, perfect
Yeah.
example. Speaking of.
We have oranges and lemons in front of us. Why we didn't combine the lemon with the vinegar for a truly awesome taste, I have no idea.
Ooh.
Now, I'm not used to sucking on lemons except when tequila's involved, so I'm a little confused as to how this is going to work out.
Well, I love lemon.
I feel like we're on one of those travel adventure food adventure shows where people go around eating spiders in Cambodia and things like that.
I could suck on
That's
a lemon.
podcast
I
number four.
absolutely love lemon. So
Lemon.
I come into this with a prejudice.
I love lemon too. First thing I did, I didn't bite into it. I licked the
Right.
lemon on the tip of my tongue,
Mm.
and it felt like when you put your tongue to a 9-volt battery when you're a kid, if you remember that.
What do you
I
mean when
know
you're a
you do
kid?
now.
I'm a girl. I
Every time I
didn't do
get a
that.
9-volt battery, I do that. As Dave mentioned earlier that I look a little like Robert Plant right now, I'm going to squeeze a lemon till the juice runs down my leg.
Oh boy, you can
Yeah.
really feel that on the tip of your
It's a
tongue.
lickable lemon.
That is.
And your tongue curls. My tongue is curling. In some ways, it almost.
Now I
Am
better
I.
not get scurvy.
How does it seem different from the vinegar?
It
It's a
well,
different kind of acid.
it's a definitely a different kind of
Totally different.
acid. And this is the kind of acid that I think I more readily see in wine.
Yeah. Ooh.
Oh.
Man.
Oh man.
It still does that thing to the back of your
Yeah.
mouth
It
too.
does.
Makes your lips curl.
But it also it makes your lips curl, but it's also it's so highly concentrated that I just can't help but wonder here if we have lemonade in front of us, if we'd be talking unsweetened, if we might have a slightly different reaction. But one thing that I did get from this is that it does have a little bit more of an effect on your entire mouth,
Yes.
your tongue,
The top of your
from
mouth.
top of the mouth. You know, not just where with the wine vinegar and even the balsamic vinegar that we had, it was more isolated. And you know, for me at least, towards the
Yeah, I think you're
back of
right
the
about
nose.
that. This is affecting my lips too, which I
It makes your lips purse. That's the whole thing about a lemon.
the which the wine vinegar didn't do because I tried it on the front of my mouth.
Well, most people do not consume that much acid in such a concentrated form. Most people don't suck on lemons.
But to me, this is more pleasant than the vinegar.
Oh, it's much more pleasant, but then again,
And the question is why, though?
the different kind of acid.
Different kind of acid, I think that's exactly it.
Does it seem more or less sweet than the vinegar?
Well, I don't think
Different.
sweet is a funk is an for me is
Hmm.
really found in either one of these. You see, this is where, just kind of going back to where I often confuse myself, is that if I know I like sweet things, I know I like, you know, chocolate, I know I like sugar in my tea, I know I like honey, you know, I know I like things that are sweet, and so I have a pleasurable association with them. And so I think I often confuse something that I think is palatable or pleasant with sweetness when I'm trying to assess it in a wine. And
Oh, that's interesting.
that's exactly the kind of thing that I'm hoping to take away from this.
Well, I've also read that as your body changes and you get older, you're more apt to like sweetness in things, that your body craves more sweetness, and hence people eating more chocolate as they get a little bit older, instead of drinking as much beer, was what the study said for men.
Really?
The men crave chocolate more than beer when they hit 40 or so. So you've got a couple of years, youngster, but.
But you're buying stock in Hershey's.
Exactly. Hershey's. I've said real chocolate. No,
Ghirardelli.
I ran
There
out
you
when I was at the Haggis tasting a couple of nights ago, which I really was. I made sure to stock up on real Kit Kat bars because
No, they're
the taste
different.
is totally different.
That is true. The taste of even the Ritter
The British
chocolate,
chocolate
yeah,
is so
is.
much better. Okay, now we've got oranges, which is going to be different from the lemon, obviously, but
But
still
still
a citric
citric.
acid.
Yeah. Oranges cleverly evolved to be a little bit sweeter to our
Sorry, this
taste.
is not the world's greatest orange,
So we
but
would plant more of their seeds and they would perpetuate.
this is much less concentrated.
Well, which is why you can drink 100% pure orange juice and not 100% pure lemon juice.
But it's still
But
got that.
it does, well, lick at the top of my at the tip of my tongue, I still get a sensation off of it, and I still get kind of the overall feel in the mouth.
It's just
So
much
it's
less
a,
intense. It's
it's
much less
it's just
intense.
much less intense.
It's very similar, but
And it's not, yeah, it's much less intense, and because of that, it's not as sharp. And I think the thing with the lemon is that the sharpness over shadows. It's almost hard to kind of think, oh my gosh, that was citric acid wearing this.
But it's still there. It's interesting.
But
But it's
no.
also got, now you can't tell me that the orange doesn't have sweetness though.
Oh, well,
And
certainly
that's
does.
it's it and it's a more balanced
Yeah,
thing.
yeah.
It's a
Yeah,
more
that's true.
balanced
It,
thing.
it's a more balanced food, and it's easier to eat, and
A similar kind of
we found a way to domesticate the lemon. So the lemon is like the cat.
thing.
It's domesticated, but it's still feral in a way. And the orange is like the dog that is just pleasing and wants to take care of you.
Well, as they say in Monty Python, and now for something completely different. I think
Okay.
that's Monty Python. Let's try the yogurt. I still get that sensation at the tip of my tongue.
Me too. I'm surprised. I've never noticed that before with this
Yeah.
yogurt. Creamy, obviously. A
Yeah,
fuller
which is a characteristic of yogurt, but kind of that point it does
front of your
receptors.
tongue is sweetness. The sides of your tongue are salty. And the back of your tongue is bitter.
But yet this is coming together on the tip of the tongue.
Yeah. It's a slightly more pleasant acidic feeling. You know what's funny about the acidity is it really, I think, when we're eating yogurt, yogurt has a very definite texture to it. But you know what? The aftertaste, really focus on the aftertaste on this. And it's almost like sour milk to
Yeah.
me.
So you're saying there's some sourness to it.
To this,
Yeah.
yeah, to the lactic, that might be a
That might
attribute of
be,
lactic
yeah, I think
acid.
it,
Yeah,
yeah.
that's why sour cream
Yeah.
must have more
And
lactic acid than
unfortunately,
orange. Yeah,
my
exactly.
husband forgot to get milk, so we don't have any milk in the house.
I don't think you need milk.
But
I think you get the taste of milk
definitely,
off of this.
yeah. I think you're right, Dave. It's the sourness that's
Yeah,
a component of
it
this.
actually is, I think, very different from the other acids we've had. The citric acid, the malic acid. Yeah, I think it's very different. It's a citric acid, kind of going back to the lemon and the orange that we had, that I think is the one that I've probably noticed the most in wine.
Oh, you think so?
I think so.
I think I feel like I've noticed the
The amount.
vinegar
Oh, the
that,
vinegar.
yeah.
Oh, yeah, the vinegar. But I'm never con I'm more
Acetic
conscious
acid.
I'm more conscious though of noticing the lemon and the citrus in a wine, and especially in a white wine, obviously. Or maybe not obviously, which is the whole reason why we're doing
Well,
this.
maybe those are the tastes that stand out more.
I think so. I think so. For white wine especially, a Riesling, I'm looking for that zip, or with a Sauvignon Blanc, I'm looking for just for that spark. That to me says bright acid,
Yeah.
brightness, happy, summer, everything that says. I'm kind of looking for that before I even taste it.
Well, I think that that raises a really interesting point, that your expectation going into a glass of wine is going to color how you taste it.
Yeah, no,
And
absolutely.
what you're looking for before you even take a sip or a smell
Yeah.
of it is going to affect
Oh, of course.
how you
Yeah.
taste it. I know for me with red wine, I'm often concerned with the alcohol content, with how balanced it is in terms of alcohol and tannins. And so I'm constantly sort of going to a glass of red wine thinking, is this going to be too hot? Is this going to be too high in alcohol? How is this going to be with food? And I think that colors how I look at red wines. You want to do the carbonic acid or the bitters?
Well, I think the bitter is a completely different thing. I think we should do the carbonic acid to keep on the acid.
Okay.
Which we have here a Diet Coke, which I've just learned.
A warm Diet Coke.
A warm Diet Coke, which I've just learned will give you a kidney failure if you drink too much of it. So
I was going to have a sip myself as I'm allergic to caffeine.
Oh, yeah, this won't kill you.
Yes, it will. It'll give me kidney failure.
Yes, yeah, he's right.
This reminds me of the Elvis Costello line in King of America where they drank Coca-Cola like it was vintage wine. That's indeed exactly what we're doing here.
Yes, we are.
We're making sure the bubbles go away so it's warm, flat Diet Coke as well.
Well, the fizzy is obviously the carbonic acid.
Yeah.
And that's affecting me, again, on the tip of my tongue.
Mm-hmm.
You can taste that, you know, with the caramel that I really taste when I drink Coke, which is very rare. That's the syrup that they put into
yeah.
it.
I think what they're doing here is they're playing off one of the principles of acidity in terms of what it can do to kind of like pop your tongue and make it pleasurable. And they're making it pleasurable by adding all this sweetness to it, too. And in this case, it's artificial sweeteners.
Yeah.
But I think it's almost, in this case, it's almost more like more of a sensation than it is.
A taste.
Yeah, than it is a taste.
Although, interestingly enough, I just looked at the can of this back of this Diet Coke, and it says it has citric acid in it. Yeah.
It, for me, with this, I'm definitely getting more of the sensation.
It's that top of the roof of your mouth.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
But also on the very tip of the tongue.
Yeah.
On the tip of the tongue. There.
Yeah. So that's our lesson in acidity class. What have we learned?
That's a good question.
That there are very different kinds of acidity, and that they can affect your mouth differently. And that wines will probably have some of that sensation to it if it's a halfway decent wine. And that in balance with sweetness can make all the difference.
But I wonder now, because we've had these things in their rawest form, if you can find the exact acidity, the exact sort of taste in the mixture that every wine has. Can you now pull that out of the other things? Like with the Coke, we had trouble pulling it out.
Yeah.
Can you now separate that and say, this is the vinegary bitterness, this is the bitters, this is the balsamic, this is the lemony one?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd be able to, and I don't know if you could. But what I'm hoping, just kind of like understanding a little bit more about the principle of acidity, that I'll be able to notice flat out acidity a little bit more in the next time I taste one, which we are going to try a little bit later.
He's a relentless tease. I came here thinking this would be a wine tasting, and I've drank vinegar and sour yogurt.
Well, if you go on to page 24, then she talks about levels of acidity and types of acidity in different wines.
You should be following at home, and that's page 24.
So, there gives you a better
a
idea.
A better sense of it, yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, and I think a little bit further on, I think we'll go back here when we actually get to the wines. But one thing I do want to do is find a section in here where they do talk about the bitter taste.
Page 25, Dave.
Page 25.
Please turn your pages to page 25, and we shall sing, "Oh, thou art so bitter."
Bitterness. This is, aside from being an aspect of lost love, this is the fourth and final basic taste that the tongue is capable of registering, in which the flat part of the tongue is particularly sensitive to.
Huh.
Bitterness is much less important to wine tasters than sweetness and acidity, but it is, but quite a number of Italian reds leave a bitter taste in the back of the tongue. So we won't spend a whole lot of time on this, but what I have brought with me here to kind of get a little bit at this practice is some aromatic bitters. So let's just, you know, kind of see what...
My question here is, bitters are so good for curing a hangover, not a hangover, for hiccups. If bitters are good for curing hiccups, will drinking bitters by themselves give you hiccups?
We'll find that out.
And if I should use my vinegar spoon or my yogurt spoon to taste this?
Well, they say bitters are an a digestive aid. So it should help all those acids go down that we've are churning in our stomachs now.
Ooh,
Soikies.
Ouch.
Yeah, that is not nearly as bad a reaction as I had to the vinegar, but
Yeah,
You
it is
know what?
something.
I find this worse. I find this worse. I don't find the taste of it as pleasing as vinegar. That is nasty.
Here's the thing that I noticed the most about it, though, is that I put it on my tongue and I immediately felt like it just spread out
It did. It's all
across the whole part of the
over the
tongue.
top and sides of my mouth now.
Yeah, and also, like they say in the book, along the flat part of the mouth. Wow, that is a bitter aftertaste too.
How do you have you ever had tasted that in a wine?
Never.
I mean, how would that translate to wine?
I have never that taste in a wine.
I don't know if I've had that taste in a wine, but I can almost see how you could get that sensation.
Sensation, yeah, not the
Yeah.
taste.
She says it's often found in some of these Italian wines. I actually had a Brunello the other night, and yeah, I don't remember registering a bitter taste, but I do definitely remember registering the same kind of texture, if you will, or the way it kind of spread itself out.
Oh, that's interesting. So
Yeah.
maybe it comes from that.
Yeah, but this is, I mean, this to me was by far the most distinctive,
Oh.
I think, for me at least.
Really? For me, it was the vinegar.
You see, I still don't exactly have. I know what bitter is like now. I mean, I think I kind of knew it before. I definitely know what it is now. The vinegars in all their different forms, I'm still kind of struggling to separate a
Oh,
little
okay.
bit.
We're going to
How are you
pause
doing
now
with
for a
it?
word from our sponsor. Do you like bitters? You love bitters like all little kids do? Then you want Angostura bitters. They're the best kind of bitters. They go well in orange juice, apple juice, cranberry juice, and also sunny day. Nothing says it's a sunshiny, fun-filled day than Agostoro Bitters. Coming to you now from the bitter cap of the world, Agostura, Slavonia. What a dramatic reading of the bitters label. 45% alcohol by volume, an aromatic preparation of water, alcohol, gentian, and vegetable flavoring extracts, and vegetable coloring matter. Vegetable coloring matter? The heck is vegetable coloring matter?
What do they got on the other side? Is that the story of bitters?
For the better guarantee of the genuineness of this aromatic bitters, the label in every bottle bears a facsimile of the signature of Dr. J.G.B. Seegert, whoever he is. There are other aromatic bitters, only one, Angostura, the brand name under which Dr. J.G.B. Seegert and his successors have sold their product throughout the world since 1830. It does not contain Angostura bark, but derives its name from the fact that it originated in the town of Angostura, Venezuela, renamed Ciudad Bolivar in 1846. Blah, 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 blah. It makes food more appetizing. Add one or two dashes to each serving of canned and frozen soup, fish chowder, bisque, and chicken soup. Stir in at last minute. Yeah. So that'll be a friendly surprise for everyone.
We're gonna kind of move on because one of the other really big components of wine is sweetness, obviously, and it's one of the big components of balance when they talk about the balance between the sweetness and the acidity, and so we're gonna see exactly what we can learn about sweetness.
Oh, good.
So let's see what she says here. Sweetness in wine. Grape juice becomes wine when yeast act on the sugar in ripe grapes to convert some or nearly all of it into alcohol.
That how it works.
And that's how it works. The resulting liquid is therefore drier and stronger than the grape juice, but the amount of sweetness left in the finished wine, the residual sugar, varies enormously. Wines can be dry, extra dry, medium sweet, etc., and so on. So yeah, I mean, sugar is a real component of wine, and let's just kind of figure out with this where we can best experience it when we taste it. The practice that she has down here in terms of tasting the sweetness says to experiment with sugar granules to see where on your tongue you experience sweetness the best. Then, whenever you drink a liquid, try to assess its sweetness by its impact on your tongue. And then try that with the wines that come your way. So let's just kind of see what we can do here.
It's tip of your tongue, and it creates this sort of, for me, this like mouth-watering feeling. Like my whole mouth gets very, sort of watered
Yeah,
by
it does. I can feel my teeth rotting.
Yeah, you can almost feel your teeth rotting as you as you do it.
I want to gargle with it now.
I love that feeling, that sensation. It's very pleasant.
Well,
It is.
that's why they put sugar in almost everything that doesn't originally have it, because they know it's sellable. That's why colas taste so sweet. That's why everything, it's a combination of flavors, but still it's the sugar. People get hooked on sugar. I can't feel it on just one spot of my tongue.
I can't. I do see a little bit at the, again, this might go to your point where the tip of the tongue might be a little bit more sensitive than others. I do see a little bit of it on the tip of the tongue, but it's almost like the bitters as well in that it kind of sweeps.
Yeah.
It doesn't sweep across in the same way because this isn't a liquid where we're tasting sugar grains, but you know what? Actually, now I'm kind of like chewing on this a little bit. There's a little bit of a cloyingness to something really super sweet.
Absolutely.
And I think that kind of happens in the back, a little bit towards the back of the tongue. And I think I'm experiencing a little bit of it there.
The
But it's not overwhelmingly in one part of the tongue or another.
define
No.
cloying, though. Talk about how that actually feels.
Well, to try and describe the sensation a little bit, I think it's like if we had pulled out maple syrup here.
Which I
I think a
have.
lot has to do with texture,
Yeah.
and kind of where it kind of, resides a little bit.
I actually have some pure maple syrup.
We're going to now do shots of the maple
Maple
syrup.
syrup. I promise you, we'll get to the wine.
No, there's still some hot sauce we haven't tasted. It's in the back there, and
This is actually maple syrup from Quebec.
Québécois,
You see,
séparatiste.
at the end of this book, at the end of this book, we will be able to tell the difference between maple syrup from Quebec, maple syrup from Vermont, and maple syrup from Maine.
And
I actually have some Vermont maple
be able to
syrup.
pick out the tree within a 3 mile radius. I bet it's gonna make you feel like you should be eating pancakes.
Absolutely.
It makes me feel like I'm gonna go into a convulsive shock here. I'm
I
starting to go blind.
need my insulin.
But I get the cloying feeling.
Yeah.
It's
Yeah.
it's
It's a
like
little
it's
bit of a
your it's
texture.
almost like your tongue is sticking to the back of your
Yeah.
mouth.
Yeah, well,
But
that's exact. And I've definitely had cloying wines. A lot of dessert wines, I think, can be very cloying.
especially if they don't have a good
A good
balance.
balance, exactly.
Balance is unity, and unity balance. Hear
Yeah.
then and understand. That's one of my brother's wedding vows when he got married in his first pagan ritual.
I think that should be that's the motto for wine as well. That is definitely got that cloying.
Yeah. I'm going to try and go from the middle here, just a little dab of honey, and I think I'm going to have a pretty good sense of sweetness.
How does that compare to the
It's still cloying. It's still kind of like that thick texture that
Yeah,
kind
it's
of
the syrupy
groups
nature of
together.
it.
Yeah.
You know what amazes me is that in retrospect, having eaten all of those honey cereals back in the day, honey smacks, etc., they didn't taste like that. They
No.
tasted like sugar.
They taste like sugar, yeah. A
How?
little bit more on the roof of the tongue or roof of the mouth.
Yeah. It definitely gets my mouth watering the way the vinegars and the bitters
Yeah.
don't,
What have we learned here
though. Well, what is
from our sugar high?
Oh my God, I have to come down from it before I can even talk.
I feel like Ricochet Rabbit.
Okay, here's a question. She brings up sweet red wine. Have you had any red wines, and I don't mean rosés, but red wines that you felt have been too
Sweet.
sweet or cloying?
I have. I mean, they do make red dessert wines for one thing, but I think a lot of Finger Lakes wines and a lot of the ones that sell really well are like su I mean sweet. There's more. There's a wine from the Finger Lakes from Hazlitt called Red Cat that has more sugar in it, residual sugar in it, than Coke does, and it
Oh, really?
sells like hotcakes for like $5.99 a bottle. I've definitely had it in red wine. I mean, I think my preferences for red wine tend to be more on the drier side, so I don't necessarily come across that many bottles that I drink on a regular basis with it. But I have tasted it. What I think is interesting about you guys, what about we're ready to do? It's kind of the last lesson before we actually get to the drinking part is the tannic thing that we're gonna do. This is actually one that I'm pretty familiar with, I think. because I overseep my tea all the time by accident, and a lot of the red wines that I do like are very heavily tannic, and they kind of grit. So I do think I can make a little bit of a connection between those two. But what I don't always get is when they say, and when I say they, I mean some of these wine reviewers that that I'll read their tasting notes, and they'll say sweet tannins. This has sweet tannins. I don't come across it all the time, but I have seen it, and maybe with this lingering residual sugar that's currently holding court in my mouth right now, combine that with the tannic here, and I might get a little bit of a sense of what they're trying to do. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you definitely get that same sensation that you get in a really tannic wine.
But it's almost, in a way, it almost like it sucks the moisture out of your mouth a little bit.
Absolutely.
I feel like I'm an early morning radio show host.
It's
My
the
cup of
opposite
tea.
of the sugar, you know?
Yeah, in a way.
The way it makes your mouth dry up.
Oh yeah, it's radically different.
Yeah, I don't exactly know if I can envision sweet tannins off of
No.
this. Unless they're talking about the chewy nature of tannins, and if there's any sweetness in the wine at the same time, that might be
I think sweet
something.
tannins are oxymoron.
Yeah, maybe.
There is some acid in this too. Like you get a
Yeah.
little bit of that acidic, obviously,
Well, that's why most
feeling.
people don't take their tea straight up. Most people need to sweeten it with something. It's
And
just
they
that acid, that
the
heavy acid and tannin feel is a little too much for most people.
so they cut it with milk, which is
Yeah.
lactic acid, which is probably why we didn't, it didn't necessarily jump out at us as being too overly acidic.
Put the yogurt in it.
I'm not sure that
Let's add the
I.
yogurt to the tea.
Let's do it.
No. That's
No,
gross.
let's do it.
You really want to do
Yeah,
that?
we're doing it a spoon.
Unless you're gonna finish your
We're doing a spoonful.
the cup there.
Do it. No, I wasn't planning on it. All
Let's
right,
do it.
let me
Let's
take
do
another
it.
sip of this.
She's just trying to wake up.
And I need the caffeine. Dave, I'm not sure that I'm good at telling tannins in red wine to a big extent. I think sometimes I confuse acidity and tannins.
Looks terrible.
This is really gross. I'm not
That down it
drinking
in one
this.
gulp.
It
I can't believe you guys are drinking
looks interesting.
That's gross.
Looks like
I don't
a
think it's
kiln.
quite the same as putting milk into.
No, it's but
It
It's
is a little.
almost.
It is. It's cutting. It's a
It,
different
it's
taste.
def it's definitely cutting it, but I don't. It's just funny though because I don't think it's actually reducing the acid taste in it.
That's because
It's.
the yogurt has a lot more acidic taste to it than milk does.
Maybe. Yeah. Okay, it's not the same. Anyways,
It's
this concludes our this concludes our test. What we're gonna try and do next is actually open up some bottles of wine and
And
see
about time too.
if about it's about time and actually see if we can apply what we've learned.
Yes.
And for those of you listening at home, the new drink of coffee and I'm sorry, tea and yogurt is going to be called the Schlicker. So if you put your yogurt in your tea, you're drinking a Schlicker. Honey, rather Schlicker.
All right.